You said you placed blame for these terrifying events, quote, right at the doorstep of the White House and the people around the president, unquote. That's a very strong charge to level. Why do you think the president himself bears responsibility?
Well, look at the campaign he ran. I mean, look at the intentional courting, both on the one hand of all these white supremacist, white nationalist group like that, anti-Semitic groups, and then look on the other hand, the repeated failure to step up, condemn, denounce, silence, you know, put to bed all those different efforts, just like we saw yesterday. I mean, this is not hard. There's two words that need to be said over and over again: domestic terrorism and white supremacy. That is exactly what we saw on display this weekend, and we just aren't seeing leadership from the White House. We certainly are going to see leadership from cities like Charlottesville, from mayors, from leaders all around the country, left and right, Republicans and Democrats. If there's an issue that can unite this country, that this can be a turning point for this democracy. I think it just happened right now this weekend in Charlottesville. You know, to be honest, it doesn't matter much to me whether he's already on the sidelines, I think, of so many issues, but the country is going to move ahead. This will be a turning point for the country to overcome this stuff, just like we've overcome these challenges in our past. And I think it's happening right now as we speak.
You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, building the collective conscious, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I am Michael Eric Owen.
And I am DT, alongside of my good friend, Michael Owens.
How you doing today,
D? And the architect, Richard Taplin. And I'm doing good. You know, I seen Richard try to trip you up.
Yeah, you know.
Like you weren't aware of something.
I'm
not paying attention to something.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
I'm on it, man. I was actually communicating with Jamie on Messenger. So I'm on it, man. You know, we can multitask and make things happen. But, you know, shout out to all our listeners. Not just within the United States, but across the globe. And this is a episode where we really want you to participate in. And we just heard from the mayor of Charlottesville in our intro to our show today, which is titled The White Supremacist President. Now, that is a serious title that I think comes along with a lot of weight behind it. Because the critics will say, you know, how can you classify? But I would like to argue early on in our conversation that actions speak louder than words. And his inaction, okay, and what has just recently happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, I think, D, not only I think shows malpractice in presidential leadership, but it also tells you the heart of the man.
You know, this whole situation has been very strange as far as like whose response we're supposed to pick up on. Like when Melania Trump has sent out a tweet, they were taking that as news. Like, Melania Trump has just tweeted out that she's against this movement. Like, who cares about that? You know?
Exactly.
But, you know, even when 45 had his opportunity to come out and speak on the issue, he didn't even address it in the way that we expected him to. And that was kind of disheartening because we wanted him to be able to step up and speak some truth to power, and he did not do that.
Absolutely.
I mean, the whole response in regard to what happened in Charlottesville probably took him all of 2 minutes, and he went on to talk about so many other different things that didn't have anything to do with the issue at hand.
And we're going to break that. We're going to break that, down here in the show. But for folks that have not been tuned in, and I don't know how you could miss this event that took place, which was called the Unite the Right rally. Unite the Right.
Right.
Now I'm not on the right. Okay, I'm gonna be honest with you. I consider myself a moderate, but I consider myself much more leaning liberal. So I'm not on the right. I'm just gonna put that out there. If you read my views and you know how I stand on things, clearly I'm not trying to hide, you know, yeah. my belief system to you. But this is about, and this is what I'm saying to my friends on the right,
right? Because we have them.
And you know, and we do have them. But you know what's so crazy, man? You know, they want to make all black people responsible for black-on-black crime, right? Mm. Or a black man does something, all black man. Why are you doing that? Or why are they doing it? All responsible. Well, the same, hey, if the shoe fit, wear it. This is a unite the right, right? Okay. At the center of the chaos is a statue memorializing Robert E. Lee. It depicts the Confederate top general, larger than life, astride a horse. and you know what's so crazy? First of all, this statue was it wasn't finished until 1924, right? Like 59 years after the Civil War, right? So this grandizing and glorifying history, the atrocities of history, is shameful in itself. But the city council had made a decision to remove this particular monument along with others. We know this stems from what Dylann Roof did in South Carolina with the Confederate flag. So you have this domino effect of individuals wanting to remove these iconic images of hate, right? Mm-hmm. So you have this group, and we know that Richard Spencer had come down there in May, so it wasn't the first time that they had come to protest, but this was an organized, man.
It was,
man,
so different. Man, I turned on the TV. I mean, it was like early in the morning, and I'm watching all this go down. It's like, man, what is happening? I imagine myself even being a family person, what that may have been like for other people with their children. Watching this on TV, what that might have been like for some of the other people that are watching this happening. It's like, man, this is so disgusting. Like, this is where we are, you know, in 2017. Pretty much the KKK is back in action.
Well, let me say this. And I mean, you bring up a point, and we're going to take a break here. Then we're going to come back and get real deep into this. But this is where we are. But let me say, let me. Do I want to make a statement or ask a question? Well, okay. This is where we are, but haven't we always been here?
This is true.
This is home.
This is true.
Wow.
This is home. The problem is we don't want to look in the other room or check underneath the couch, right? Or open up the fridge, right? Because it's always been in the house. America's house has been polluted with racism and bigotry from the get-go. Mm-hmm. This is no different, folks. But they got a leader now. They've had leaders before, Andrew Jackson, and you know, we could go through who Woodrow Wilson. We could go through here. There have been white supremacist leaders in the White House, right?
Without a doubt.
But we're in 2017. And we're supposed to progress. We had a black president. We're supposed to be, kumbaya.
Post-racial America.
Kumbaya. Folks, listen, we're going to get deep into this. Hang with us. We want to hear your participation. You can hit us up. Man, where can they hit us up at? Facebook?
Facebook, Twitter.
Through Patreon, right? They can hit us up through Stitcher, right? Okay. Yeah, Richard's just like shaking his head. You can hit us up anywhere. Hey, listen, message us, text us. We want to hear from you. This is a real serious topic that we need to deal with today. We will be right back.
This is Richard Taplin, host of Blackest Studios, The Black Box. Join Elijah Bailey and myself as we interview entrepreneurs as they share their stories of passion and how it motivates them to strive forward. We also explore new topics on self-improvement. If you want to listen to our show, simply search Blackened Studios on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, or Stitcher. And be sure to follow us at Blackest Studios on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you want to catch all the shows that record here at Blackest Studios, simply go to the website, blackeststudios.com. And remember, it's Blackest.
This is Josh K.
And I am Leah Marie.
And when we listen to podcasts, we always listen to
One Mic, One Voice.
You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We want to dive deep into this conversation that we are having today. So this rally took place, and I'm sure that everyone listening to me now has seen the devastation that white hate brings to the table. And I classify it that way, but I'm going to put this caveat in. It seemed to me, and again, I don't know what the numbers are, but it seems to me that 90% of the opposition, of the anti-white supremacist protesters, were white.
90%. Wow, is that white on white crime?
Man,
are you kidding me?
But you know, I applaud. But let me say this. This is where I'm going with this. I applaud our white brothers and sisters for standing up against this sort of rhetoric and hatred. The lady that lost her life, Heather Heyer, that lost her life, is white. Okay? I mean, this is what's so tragic about neo-Nazism and this fascist movement and this white nationalist. This is what's so tragic about it, is because the very same people, and we're going to get into this in the show, but the very same people they say they represent, they attacked yesterday. Mm-hmm. They threw bottles at they pepper sprayed them. They fought and beat them. Mm-hmm. And ultimately we see this James Alex Fields, this young man, ran over this woman and others, right? Killed one, injured, 19? It's from 19 to 30, what I've seen the reports of. But D, I want to take a moment, man, because we give so much emphasis on these non-patriots, okay? They want to call themselves patriots, but they're not. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this woman for a moment, about her life, right? It says she was a paralegal. She was a resident of Charlottesville. She obviously had some social consciousness, because it's reported that after the 2016 presidential election, she put on Facebook, "If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention."
Yeah.
So clearly she was a person that had her finger on the pulse.
Definitely had a stake in the matter. It's sad because even after, we found out about her past and what led up to her being at the event itself, her family came out and said that, she died doing the right thing. Mm. And in my mind, that's almost a farce because, she died for no reason. Mm. She was out there for a good purpose, trying to stand up for what she believed in, but her life was lost for nothing.
Well, I would hope that, I understand what you're saying. I would just hope that the loss of life in all situations would spawn some type of action in the hearts of people that know her, and even us that stand on the periphery of this death, that we would also be impacted in a way that we really want to see her death not be in vain, right? Because she's a martyr. She's among the greats that have laid down their lives for something that they believed in. If you will not stand for something, you will stand for everything. And clearly, it's a tragedy that she lost her life. And we should all pray for her and her family. But her life and her death was not lived in vain.
Eliza says, why are people surprised 45 didn't respond correctly? It's ignorant, uneducated people who say comments like, that was the past. He's different. He doesn't care about the plight of minorities now or never. We agree.
Yeah, we can just say, boom, you know, A plus, thumbs up. We completely agree with that statement.
Moses says, 45's dad was arrested at a Klan rally back in the day. Mm-hmm. He believes in eugenics. He's a white supremacist through and through.
And, you know, I mean, this is what, and we're going to go here in this discussion because this is true. You know, language is so important, and we've talked about language. And let me say this. I believe, and you can correct me, this is episode 85, so we didn't did quite a few, right? Wow. We did a 3-part series on white nationalism. Am I correct?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Folks, I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to all 3 of those episodes because we break down the movement, the history of the movement, where it is today, the impact it's going to have on our country moving forward. We've done that. That's your catalog. That's your homework. Go back to that. It's a 3-part series. But what I want to say is, you know, this guy that drove his car, he's 20 years old. 20 years old. How many of our young kids are being influenced by this rhetoric each and every day? And we talked about the websites that are out there in that series. We talked about the propaganda. People are being indoctrinated in their bedrooms, in their basements. They're being indoctrinated by this hate. And here's a gentleman that they said, they had posts from his Facebook page that had Nazism on it. Other things had where'd a jar at? I need to put some in.
Yeah.
Had 45 sitting on a throne with a crown on him. You know, I mean, this guy.
Hell was, Trump.
Exactly. That was Richard Spencer, right? Mm-hmm. This guy was indoctrinated, and people might say, okay, this is what the argument might be. People might say, well, this is just a radical small group of the population. Okay. I still go back to this. The craziest voices get the most attention, and with social media today, you're able to reach people no matter where they are at. And you're able to influence them no matter where they are at. And so when you see the rise in groups like this, let me just say this. Okay, let me just say this. Okay, let's go back and just define what white supremacy is all about. Do you want to do that?
All right. So white supremacy or white supremacism is a racist ideology based upon the belief that white people are superior in many ways to people of other races and that therefore white people should be dominant over the other races. White supremacy has roots in scientific racism and often relies on pseudoscientific arguments. Like most similar movements such as neo-Nazism, white supremacists typically oppose people of color and people of most religions.
Okay, so they should be dominant over other races. They are superior. You know, this is, and hold on, after our break, we're going to come back with some, we still got time, bro. We're not even close. But after our break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how this is associated with 45. With 45, right? Now, this is what I don't understand. They don't like black people.
Man, these people hate everything.
Okay, they don't like Jewish people.
Cats, dogs, chicken.
They don't like gay people, right? LGBT community, they don't like them, right? They don't like any minorities. So why don't they go buy some land? I mean, buy 10,000 acres. It's available, and make like white supremacy land, right? And then they can buy all the statues, and they can put the statues up on their land, and they can live among themselves. What is the need? And this is my point. This is where I'm coming to now. What is the need to push these beliefs on a country that the majority of people say you're full of shit? I know you're going to have to bleep that, brother. I know what I had to say. Okay, what is that? Because you have a person in the White House that has a history of bigotry and racism, and that speaks to them, DT, in their language, in their code language. Let's make America great again.
One of the actual KKK wizards tweeted to Donald Trump that he should be careful about the way he approached situations, because they're the reason why he's in the office in the first place.
Oh, absolutely. They believe that.
And so, like you're saying, they also hold his position, but with their own motives in mind. So, like, hey, man, don't be saying too much, because we're protecting your interests as well.
His inability to speak to this issue, right? His inability to do that, right? I wonder what some of our listeners think. What is his inability to speak to this issue? Pipe in. What is his inability? Because he can easily speak against minorities, right? What do you have to lose? Right. Your schools are broken. You have no jobs. You walk out of your house and you get shot. Mm-hmm. What do you have to lose? Right? Okay. He's demonized the Black Lives Matter movement. Right? He's talked about the Black Lives Matter movement as being thugs and criminals and anti-American. So he can easily speak out against that, right? Oh, let's go back to early Donald Trump, right? He could easily speak out after the Central Park Five. He not only spoke out, he took out a front page ad condemning them, right? 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 And even when they were found innocent by DNA, he still spoke out and said, I don't care. There was enough evidence. They're guilty. And then we can't forget Mexico, when they send their people, they're sending rapists, criminals.
The worst of the worst.
Drug dealers.
Wrong.
So he has no problem speaking out against this, D, what supports white supremacy. Mm-hmm. He has no problem doing that, right? Let's look at this video, or listen to this video. We're going to break it down. We're going to stop it and start it. So I'm going to put Richard to work a little bit.
But we're closely following the terrible events unfolding in Charlottesville, Virginia. We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides.
Okay.
On many sides.
Let's examine that. On many sides. What's your thoughts on that, dude?
It's kind of a cop-out, you know, because honestly, in doing some more research and digging about these neo-Nazi groups, there's a website called the Southern Poverty Law Center. Mm-hmm. And these people pretty much track
hate groups
and, you know, those type of activities. And they give you a breakdown of each group and what they stand by and what they are about. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to, in that short snippet, tried to get an analysis of what he meant by on both sides. And I thought to myself, okay, well, what is Black Lives Matter's position? Mm-hmm. What are they known for? You know, protesting, mm-hmm. talking, rallying, you know, these very like minor things, mm-hmm. in a sense, mm-hmm. you know. When I looked up what was White Lives Matter about, according to the SPL, White Lives Matter, a racist response to the civil rights movement. Black Lives Matter is a neo-Nazi group that is growing into a movement as more and more white supremacist groups take up its slogans and tactics. So this lady, Rebecca Barnett, mm-hmm. is a co-founder of White Lives Matter.
Interesting.
And sounds like some sweet lady who's knitting sweaters and sitting her grandchildren on her lap and telling them stories, but she's not. Here's a quote from her. What happens to blacks in this country at the hand of law enforcement is none of our concern, other than to prepare to restore order and rebuild our neighborhoods, taking back our lands one community at a time. When the enemy destroys, we guard our town borders and make our homes white and great again.
Mm, great again. Well, you know, and that's so interesting.
So that's because, one side. Uh-huh.
And the other side is injustice. The other side is inequality. The other side is a legacy of ostracism. And so when he equates the two, when he says that fundamentally they are the same.
They're not.
The reason why he says that is because he does not want to offend his supporters who are white supremacists. Go ahead, D.
Here's more from Rebecca.
Okay.
Ever hear the term, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and acts like a duck, then it's a nigger?
Mm.
This is why I hate niggers.
Why, because we ducks?
And the niggers are too damn stupid to realize Obama is using them to bring martial law and the men in blue suits.
So what did Obama do? That's how much a fool she is. Obama's gone. We're the man in blue suits. And hold on. I'm not going to even get distracted by that. Folks, listen. They are not mutually exclusive. There is no both sides, right? There is a side of hate and there's a side of love, okay? They're opposite ends of the coin, right? Completely. So let me say this, because we're going to move on, D. We got another comment. Let's go ahead and roll it. We'll come back.
All right.
On many sides. It's been going on for a long time in our country. Not Donald Trump, not Barack Obama. This has been going on for a long, long time.
Okay.
Mike, why?
Okay, it's not him, and it's not the former president. When he accused the president of dividing the country, of bringing up racism and discrimination, for not liking white people, but he turns around and he's going to put himself in the same category with President Obama? Are you serious? Are you going to equate yourself? Well, it's not me. I've done nothing wrong, and neither did Obama. Well, we know Obama didn't do anything wrong, but mister, you are the impetus for all of this. And how dare you try to shield yourself by the content and the character of Mr. Obama. You should be ashamed of yourself. Did you find that comment?
I mean, I think it's funny that he always finds a way to intertwine Obama into the situation.
Everything.
Like, dog, why?
The man is surfing somewhere, man. Leave him alone. You know what I mean? Did you find
that? All right, here we go. 45, Eliza says, 45 is a puppet on strings who is being told what to say to please some. But given the chance, his racist tongue would have no boundaries. And we've heard that already.
Oh, absolutely.
Moses says he doesn't speak out because he has white supremacists on his staff. And Stephen Bannon, former editor of Breitbart, Stephen Miller, Richard Spencer said Miller was his mentee, and Sebastian Gorka, who dresses up like a Nazi. Those are the people who write his statements. And, you know,
it's so true.
That's one of the things that I notice about watching him in his political addresses. Like, he's like a political puppet. I mean, he's sitting there reading from a script.
He can't. He
somebody that's, you know, trying to articulate what they think he may say that may sound good to the people. But
he needs a script, because when he doesn't, he speaks his mind, and and his mind is empty. Right. So it's nonsense. Right. He has nothing of value in his mind. Let's go on.
It has no place in America. What is vital now is a swift restoration of law and order and the protection of innocent lives. No.
Okay. Law and order.
What
that's,
is that?
That's cold, man. That's cold. Law and order to crack down on who? Right? He has instituted, this is where we're talking about policy now. So his discussion switches to policy. We need law and order, right? What he means by law and order is, number one, is locking up minority folks, right? Stop and frisk. He means policies. He's not talking about the rally. He said we need law and order. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with a policy decision based upon policing in this country. Because if you saw any of the videos yesterday, you know the police were just bystanders. Mm-hmm. And when they showed up, you had these white supremacists pushing against them.
Oh, my God.
Now, what if there had been a group of Black Lives Matter folks out there or black men pushing against police officers in riot gear?
Can I answer that?
Please do.
All right. So had this been Chicago or Ferguson or any other place like that, I mean, this would have been like a Civil War, War III. They would have brought out the tanks, the Gatling guns, the missile-launching helicopters, the Hiroshima and Nagasaki starter kit nuclear bomb. But these cats are out there in, like, riot gear, man.
Contrast this with Ferguson.
It's totally different. Totally different.
Okay. I mean, the fact that they could sit there and allow for these people to push up against them and not arrest any of them, not beat them. Now, I'm not condoning beating anyone, but I'm saying, folks, you policing has got to be the same. I don't care what community you're in. And all of a sudden you're dealing with some white folks and not even decent white people. You're dealing with some of the scum of our society and you let them push against you. If that had been black people, oh, my God, it would have been a slaughter.
Yeah, this is handled in a very delicate way, might I add. I mean, in contrast to what happened in Ferguson. My buddy Brian says we need to stop letting our white friends off the hook. And he says, when I say off the hook, I'm saying we allow our white friends to feel comfortable behind their computer screens. If we post a pic of Cap, they have tons of comments. If we post a pic of our kids, they like the picture. If we post a status about Trump or how David Duke says this rally is to bring Trump's vision to reality, those same friends are nowhere to be found, not commenting on anything. You can't love my family and yet support, not publicly denouncing it's supporting this rhetoric.
Well, I mean, Brian is, Brian
you
is,
can't love my family mm-hmm. and yet support this rhetoric.
Mm-hmm. Brian is absolutely correct. Okay. And so I'm not going to disagree with him at all. I think it takes, and I've said this before, I think it takes our white brothers and sisters not following the lead of black and brown people when it comes to speaking out, but being the first to speak out. Let me say this, though. There are plenty white people that are the first to speak out. There's plenty white people that were at that rally protesting against those people. White woman lost her life. So I agree with him completely. There's no disagreement there. What I would like to say is that we need more of our white brothers and sisters to come out and to be engaged and to speak up against. Man, I canceled my NFL league pass this year. I canceled it. I called and said, I'm not. They said, well, Mr. Owens, why you want to cancel your NFL league? But I said, because nobody picked up Kaepernick. And the person didn't even know what I was. She was like, who is that? I said, well, let me explain. And so I explained her to me. And she said, you know what?
Oh, really?
And she said, good luck with your protest. She said, I hope it's successful. Mm-hmm. Because I said, I'm not going to spend my money, okay, with any type of organization that I think discriminates against anybody. right? Not black, brown, gay. I don't care. Wrong is wrong. And so what I'm going to say is to our white brothers and sisters, as Brian has said, we need all of you. All of you. Yes, we need your support, but we need you to be the first to come out the gate and say, no, 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 this is wrong. This is not true. And much to the credit of our white brothers and sisters, they are truly doing that. Great comment. Let's move on.
No citizen should ever fear for their safety and security in our society. And no child should ever be afraid to go outside and play or be with their parents and have a good time. I just got off the phone with the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, and we agreed that the hate and the division must stop, and must stop right now. We have to come together as Americans with love for our nation and true affection, really, and I say this so strongly, true affection for each other. Our country is doing very well in so many ways. We have record, just absolute record employment. We have unemployment, the lowest it's been in almost 17 years. We have companies pouring into our country, Foxconn and car companies and so many others. They're coming back to our country. We're renegotiating trade deals to make them great for our country and great for the American worker. We have so many incredible things happening in our country. So when I watch Charlottesville, to me, it's very, very sad. I want to salute the great work of the state and local police in Virginia, incredible people, law enforcement, incredible people, and also the National Guard. They've really been working smart and working hard. They've been doing a terrific job. Federal authorities are also providing tremendous support to the governor. He thanked me for that. And we are here to provide whatever other assistance is needed. We are ready, willing, and able. Above all else, we must remember this truth. No matter our color, creed, religion, or political party, we are all Americans first. We love our country. We love our God. We love our flag. We're proud of our country. We're proud of who we are.
Okay, okay.
Okay, shut up.
Let's shut that food out. I'm sorry. I can't take it anymore. I wanted to kind of like go through the video step by step.
But I just can't,
you know. There's not enough Crown Royal in this room to help me take that. But okay, let me just kind of sum up what this clown is talking about, right? He goes into this diatribe about how great the country is, how great things are going with him.
So funny, man.
I mean, and this is what? This is right after someone died in this rally. This is right after massive confrontation and tension that this fool says, you know what, things are going great. You know, we're making things happen. Our country's wonderful. You have people dressed in Nazi uniforms with a Confederate flag, with Nazi symbols, marching through a city in the United States, and you can stand there with a straight face and say, things are going great. What are you talking about?
Employment rates are high as
ever. So what would be his description of things going wrong? I mean,
that's
literally.
That's a great question. That is a great question.
I mean, does it get worse than? Oh man. Okay. Things are going great. He mentions law enforcement again. Again, cold words, man. Cold words. Self-aggrandizing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's about him. Mm-hmm. It's about what he's doing. Oh, yeah, I did this and they thanked me for that. And then this idea that his administration is restoring the sacred bond against government and citizens. Fool, have you looked at your approval rating? I think it's like 36. So that means 74% of the country.
Not feeling it.
Are you kidding me? You have restored the sacred bond of. But he goes on to say, though, D, and this is the most damaging thing. He goes on to say, this is the citizens' problem.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got to work it out amongst
yourselves. You need to learn to start respecting each other.
We're doing our job.
Right? That's your president.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the president of the United States that says, it's not my fault. It's not Barack Obama. I don't even, like you said, I don't know why you bring him up. He's not in office anymore, right? But we are doing what we need to do, but it's, you don't respect each other,
mm-hmm.
right? When he uses all of this hate speech throughout his campaign, he hires, as Moses talked about, these white supremacists mm-hmm. to his cabinet. Somehow, the citizenry is a problem? Okay. These white supremacists, nationalists, neo-Nazis, skinheads. Well, we got another comment, brother.
Okay.
And we're going to go to break.
Moses says, 45, disgusting, makes him want to vomit. Eliza agrees. Brian says, and again, not all. My wife is white and Mexican, and she even leads me in some aspects of this fight. When she brings new knowledge to my attention, she understands our kids will be black in society's eyes. So again, not all who are not black or brown do not support the movement. I apologize if that wasn't clear. I was simply saying our friends can't be kept comfortable while we're uncomfortable. So stop censoring your social media because you don't want to offend someone.
Oh, and that's Brother Brian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nobody mistook that, brother. We understand exactly what you were trying to say, and we appreciate your comment because it is right on. I mean, we listen, as a black man in this country, I'm uncomfortable
every
day.
Mm-hmm.
So why should I not want a white person to be uncomfortable? Because only when we are uncomfortable, only when we are pressured, only when we are placed in situations where things are difficult, do we figure out we need to change.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make something happen. The opposite of that is the status quo, right? Let things go on the way that they are. But, folks, let me tell you something. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're winding this thing down, hanging with us, the white supremacist president, number 45. We will be right back.
Hey, this is your boy Frog. I'm here with Chris, Justin, and Philip, and we host Turn on the Game, the podcast. The show consists of four men commentating on the sports world. It's strictly opinion shows, as if you were sitting on the couch watching a game with your boys.
And you can follow us on Twitter at @TurnOnThe_Game. You can hit us up on our Facebook page at Turn on the Game. And you can even follow us on Instagram at Turn on the Game.
Or you can listen to us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher by searching Turn on the Game.
You can email us at TurnOnTheGame4@gmail.com.
Turn on the Game is sponsored by Blacken Studios, Oklahoma City's premier podcasting studio. Turn on.
This is Quraysh Ali Lansana, poet, author, educator, and Oklahomie. And when I listen to podcasts, I'm on that one mic, one voice joint.
Welcome back, folks. Just heard Q. Q's coming back to the show. The poet, the professor. We're looking forward to having him back here in August to kind of share the work that he's been doing. Such a dynamic show with him and Chaz Reynolds. Okay. Let's talk for a minute. And I want to kind of center our thoughts back on 45. Not so much on the rally, but on 45. We heard, if you picked up right from the start, we had the video of the mayor of Charlottesville blaming the president and his rhetoric and his campaign for Charlottesville. That's not a stretch. That's extremely accurate. Okay. Now, you have this guy, David Duke. Now, if you don't know who David Duke is, okay, he's a white nationalist. He was a politician, anti-Semitic, Holocaust denier. Okay. He's a convicted
denier?
Yeah, didn't happen. I mean,
I'm sorry.
I mean, it is like, so you're right. It's laughable when people say, oh, in 6 million people plus.
I went to the Holocaust Museum in D.C. It's definitely happened.
He said it didn't happen. It's all propaganda. It's all made up. Right? Okay.
Woo.
And there's other people that believe that, right?
Like the earth is flat, right?
Oh, yeah. And they're called, I just learned, they're called flattists.
Yeah. Interesting.
There are also people who don't eat. They're like Aeritarian.
Yeah. They did. Yeah.
But
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So he's a convicted felon, and he's the former imperial wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, right? Now, I want you to listen to what this man had to say.
A state of emergency declared in Virginia Saturday as clashes break out between white nationalists and counter-protesters in Charlottesville. Smoke clouding the streets as the two groups threw punches during the Unite the Right rally, a protest against the city's removal of a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. The event underscoring the persistent tension surrounding the display of Southern Civil War symbols, including the Confederate flag. Supporters say the flag honors Southern heritage, while opponents call it and other remnants of the war racially insensitive.
I know your mama too!
Many of those at the rally taunting one another without remorse, keeping tensions high and heated with no signs of protesters cooling off. According to media reports, there were more than 500 white nationalists and about 1,000 counter-protesters.
If you do not disperse immediately, you will be arrested.
Virginia State Police breaking up multiple fights and making several arrests throughout the morning. At least two people were injured.
When people actually call them the alt-right, because then that, you know, that sort of sets a standard that they're sort of part of a political movement. And this isn't political. This has nothing to do with being a Republican. It has nothing to do with being a Democrat. What they are racists, and I want to call it for what it is. It's not an alt-right movement. And, you know, I think at this point, if you are going to go out there and spread your hate, you have every right to free speech. But coming out and actually invoking violence, that's where you cross the line.
I totally agree. They are racist, Julie. And with this, what particularly galls me a little bit in this is you have David Duke saying he's following the president's mandate to take back America. Absolutely.
What the heck is he even talking
nonsense.
About when he says
what
that? The president
heck does
has
he
never
mean?
Said that before.
No, he's never said anything like that. He has gone out of his way to show that he doesn't support David Duke and his thugs. And this should never, ever be playing. David Duke needs some help.
Okay, so David Duke comes out, and there's an interview out there, and you can find it. But this was actually the last video was Fox saying that 45 does not support David Duke and never did and never said take back our country, because David Duke came out and said this is a turning point in our country. And we are fulfilling the promises of 45.
So pretty much he handed them the baton.
Exactly. He said, we're on this mission, right? And the That's reason right. we're on this mission is because of 45, right? Now, you have, of course, Fox puts a spin on everything, right? So you have this... Fox reporter that says he's never said that, right? But much to the contrary, we know that 45 has said it. And we know in the past that 45 has said let's make America great again. He's also said, let's take back our country. So it is a falsehood to say that he has never said that. So with that said, we have a president, let me just lay this out for you, that is surrounded by white supremacists that has a history of bigotry and racism and discrimination against minority people. Matter of fact, I would say he has built an empire by shortchanging people of color. Mm-hmm. He ran on a platform that had racist, white supremacist ideology. Go ahead, we're going to play something.
Hello, how are y'all doing?
You know, hey, what's up, everybody on Twitter? How's it going? Here, let's get a little thing.
Leon! Oh, hi. Leon, get over here. One question, sir.
So we got live Periscope, too.
Live Periscope.
How you doing, Hunter?
Good. The antifasters attract our people.
Of course they
did. Because sir, what does today represent to you? The camera's right here. What does today represent to you?
Rally.
How you doing? This represents a turning point. For the people of this country, we are determined to take our country back. We're going to fulfill the promises of Donald Trump. That's what we believed in. That's why we voted for Donald Trump, because he said he's going to take our country back, and that's what we got to do.
Okay. The words from his mouth itself.
That's what we got to do.
We are going to fulfill the promises of Donald Trump. Now, in the eyes of these people, his promises are simply to restore the white man to his rightful place in American society. Now, we're winding this show down. But I want to read, and I'm not going to even use his name, the organizer of this rally. This is what he had to say about the rally. The biggest thing is a show of strength. Mm-hmm. This is what he said ahead of the rally. To show that our organization that has been divided on class, been divided on religious issue, divided on ideological grounds, can put 14 words together. You know what these, this is their slogan. We must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children as our primary motivating factor. Mm-hmm. Now, let's look at that for a moment. We must secure the existence of our people and the future of our children. No.
White children.
White children.
Don't okay. forget it.
Right. 14 words. Right. This is our motivating factor.
Primary.
Motivation. They voted for 45 because they believe that he is the answer to their goal, right? And let me tell you how twisted this is. The man is married to an immigrant. He ain't even trying to preserve white children. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's not even trying to preserve white children.
I mean, the man really like a walking contradiction, you know, because even in his speech when he talked about, you know, no one should fear for their life and safety. No child should not be able to go outside and play and be in fear. And like, man, when you're talking about sending bombs over to somebody else's place, don't you think, like, kids are going to be affected? And
oh, absolutely.
Fearful? It's like.
Absolutely. But no, those are not Anglo-Saxon people. Let me tell you what Hitler did. Okay. Hitler rose to power, and his slogan was, let's make Germany great again. Okay. And people began to believe in this skewed version of what Germany should be, right? Kind of nostalgia in a way. And what Hitler convinced Germans of is that Jews were the problem, that Germany was not great. Right. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump rises to power. Let's make America great again. He attacks immigrants. He attacks people of color. right? One of the first things he tries to do is to ban people from this country, right? But he wants to leave the borders open for Anglo-Saxon people to come from Europe, right? See, he also says when he's running, he wants to hoard all of these illegal immigrants and put them out of the country, right?
Did I tell you that I didn't pass the vetting process?
Oh, yeah, I didn't either. Oh, yeah, I posted. I didn't either. I couldn't get in the country either. So, you know, I don't know who can at this point. But you know what's so funny is, I mean, when you look at his tactics, it's like he said, I can't exterminate people like Hitler did. But I can put a strategy of extermination together. We can get them out of this country. Law and order, right? We can lock people up, right? Right. We need to be tough on crime, mm-hmm. right? His rhetoric is the same identical. As a white supremacist. So why do we question why this man doesn't come out and condemn it? And listen, folks, the bar is set so low for the presidency right now. It's ridiculous. Well, I think once the president gets a little bit more information, I think, you know, it's just in the coming days he's going to come out and he's going to condemn this. And I just don't think, you know, he has it. But he did say hate and bigotry. This man, are you kidding me? A little child can step to the microphone and say, no, 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 this is wrong. This is not what America stands for. We do not support this sort of hate. Are you trying to tell me we're willing to give this man as much time as he needs mm-hmm. to craft what?
Take
one
time.
Sentence?
One.
Okay. I mean, is he incapable? Maybe he's incapable of articulating this in a way that makes sense. Maybe he needs, you know, spend more time in his sandbox. With his little Hitler toys to get his mind right to come out and be an adult.
He should be calm, though. He spent a lot of time at the golf course.
Yeah, this whole relaxing. Idea of working vacation is
that's
an oxymoron.
Actually where his press conference was at.
How can you have a working vacation? That's like vacation simply means you're not working, right? But he's having and that's a whole other thing, how he criticized President Obama, and this guy has already gone on more vacations than Obama took in 8 years. It's ridiculous, right? Cost the taxpayers so much money. Folks, listen, this is what I'm trying to say to you today. What we saw in Charlottesville, Virginia, is just the tip of the iceberg. It's the tip of the iceberg. If you think that this is over and done with, you are being deceived. This is a tip of the iceberg. We just saw that they're going to go to the University of Texas, I believe, for a White Lives Matter rally. This is a planned strategy. And if you are asking the federal government to step in, if you are waiting for the highest branch of governments to do something about this, you are mistaken. This is in our lap. This is in our purview. Nobody else is going to do anything about this. Why? Because at the highest echelons of government, we have white supremacy ruling. Why would it douse out its own flame? It would never do that. It would be foolish to do that. When Pharaoh gets the seat, Pharaoh did not yield until he was almost destroyed. Pharaoh sits in the seat of the American government. Listen, folks, no impeachment. You got Dents, as I call him, not Pence, Dents.
Dents.
You got Dents in concessions.
Concessions.
Listen, folks, the point I'm trying to make is.
And a president with childhood dementia.
Thank you. Childhood dementia. Listen, there is no help coming from the federal government. There is no Lyndon B. Johnson. There is no Kennedy. No. No. And folks, guess what? There's not even a Barack Obama. You have handed the keys to the American car to someone that doesn't even have a driver's license. Mm. And we ain't getting nowhere safe.
Can't even reach the pedal yet.
Can't even reach the pedal. He can put it in gear, though. Okay. We're not going to get anywhere. The only place we're going to land in destruction, D. I don't know about you, but, you know, what happened is, let me read the last thing, and then I'm gonna let you, then we're going to take it on out. The organizer also said this. I don't want to fast forward 40 years. This is the organizer of the rally. Mm-hmm. And look to my grandchildren and look my grandchildren in the eyes. I don't want to fast forward 40 years and look my grandchildren in the eyes and have them say, why didn't you do something or anything to stop this?
And this is their mentality.
To stop
why,
what?
Why this has been perpetuated for so long.
To stop what? Mm-hmm. To stop progress? To stop the unification of the human souls? To stop people making their own decisions? To stop people from having self-determination? To stop people from joining together? To stop black and white folks from marrying? To stop other races from coming together? To stop gay and lesbian people from living their lives? What are you trying to stop? You're trying to stop life, fool, because you're on the wrong side of history. Mm-hmm. Because you can't stop. You can't stop it. The problem is, would you go out in a bloody end? Well, folks, we're going to take this to the after party.
Hey, shout out to all of our commenters.
Oh, man.
Man, you guys kept it hot today. Everybody that's on our Patreon account will join us in the after party.
Yeah, how can they get on the Patreon?
Hey, patreon.com/onemiconeVoice to attend the after party.
And the after party is where we, you know, we kind of unscripted and Richard is not, you know, he's not trying to fan us down like
Richard pretty much leaves the booth because it gets real.
He got virgin ears, so, you know. But, hey, folks, we want to continue to hear from you. As I said, in this dilemma in which we are faced with right now, okay, there is no other place that we can reach for help than within ourselves. There comes a time in everyone's life where you've had enough. There comes a moment, maybe a crystallization of a thought or a situation or an experience in which you get to that point and you say, no, this will not happen. For me, I cannot live in a world where hate rules, where love is displaced, abandoned, and weakened. This may be a small splinter group, but they're growing. And all I know is it's like that apple in the barrel. All it takes is one apple to spoil the whole bunch. Because history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain a divided peoples? Yes.
History will speak of us.
We can be the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate and spread the love.
us. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice. Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blackened Studios. To learn more about Blackened Studios, please visit them at blackenedstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blackened Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blackened Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.